Welcome to the walkthrough.
What is going on, South Harmon? It's episode 10, or week 10 episode of the walkthrough. I'm Matty Kiwoom, and I'm joined, of course, by Cody Carpentier. Cody, how the hell are you?
Oh, I'm doing fantastic, brother. I'm doing fantastic. It's week 10. I think we missed y'all last week, but we're back with some heat and some helium. We got four bye weeks. I think we're high energy today, Matty. We got about 45 minutes of pre-show in, mm-hmm. So there should be no slippages in English coming out of our mouths and just pure raw facts coming out of our rankings.
Radio gold. I mean, we are on it. I mean, we had our rankings synced up. We're ready to rock and roll. Week 10, over halfway through. These are the biggest games of the fantasy regular season. These wins and losses will dictate playoffs versus rebuild. It'll dictate trade strategy. There's a lot that's going to end up happening in these next few weeks. So week 10 is very, very important. Of course, four teams on bye this week: the Raiders, the Browns, the Seahawks, and the Green Bay Packers. All of those players, get them out of your lineup. But we're going to go through the walkthrough here, baby, which means we are going through each and every game in week 10. So let's start in Munich, Germany. The New York Football Giants take on the Carolina Panthers, a battle of 2-7 teams. Take that, Germany, in your face. No good football teams heading your country this year. Sorry for that. Looks like the Panthers are going to be 6.5-point underdogs. The over-under of 40.5 is really not all that exciting. But where I want to start, Mr. Carpentier, is at the running back position. Both of us have Chuba Hubbard just outside of our top 20, but inside our top 24. And we both have Tyrann Tracy inside our top 12. But I got to start with Chuba Hubbard because the news just dropped. Big time extension, 4 years, $33.5 million, 15 of which is guaranteed. So Chuba Hubbard, this week, do you like the matchup against the Giants? And do you think now we can start forecasting a Chuba Hubbard backfield from this year and beyond?
On the brink of a Jonathan Brooks second round pick debut.
Trading up.
He gets a contract. On the brink. I mean, this happened a few weeks ago with Alvin Kamara getting a 2-year extension in New Orleans. But Alvin Kamara, like, I'm not saying Chuba didn't earn this, but Kamara earned like that respect. And that was, of course, on the brink of Kendre Miller coming back. And Kendre averaged 60 yards per carry that game and had a couple targets. And I don't know if these things even correlate to anything in these guys getting contracts before these younger guys come in and play. I didn't expect much out of Brooks. If you guys have tapped into Undercovered Ops at all this year, I've talked about Brooks and staying away for the remainder of the season and rest of season, or in season-long stuff. And Dynasty, of course, we love him. Now I'm a little more hesitant with the Brooks thing. I think he's going to be fine. But given a guy like this $8 million per year, Matty, from an NFL roster construction standpoint, this is something we talk about a lot, of course, in the offseason with NFL draft stuff and just overall roster construction, makes negative sense to me. And again, I mean, I was starting to believe that Carolina was going in the right direction with the Jonathan Mingo trade, getting a fourth round pick from Dallas. Yeah. But I'm starting to think that maybe it was just Dallas being desperate and idiots. Because they got fleeced on Deontay Johnson. Now they're fleecing themselves on Chuba Hubbard. They should have traded Chuba for a fourth round pick or a third round pick last week. That's what they should have done. Instead, now they give him $8 million. Now they have to wait 4 more years before they can get a comp pick. Now they have to wait a couple years before he's probably going to be tradable. And when I say tradable, it's more so who's going to want to take on a contract with a guy like this who's had 300 plus carries in college. And Ben kind of ran into the ground. And the theory around Carolina amongst reporters was that they were just going to run Chuba into the ground this year and then hand the reins off to Jonathan Brooks. Mm-hmm. And now this contract just throws up. It makes no sense from a roster building standpoint in any way, shape, or form. Anyway, we're not here to talk all about that, even though I wanted to get my 2 cents in on that. Chuba this week, good matchup, not great. Obviously don't love him quite as much as Tyrann Tracy. I do like Chuba more than a guy like Chase Brown on Thursday night, who obviously is going to have already played by the time you listen to this. But now in a backfield by himself, you got Javonte Williams in Kansas City, Ramondre, James Conner. I like him better than these guys this week. But it's in a grouping of guys that they got tougher matchups, all bottom 10 matchups in the roster watch matchup tool. But Tyrann Tracy, man, this is the action-packed Jackson talking point of this game, outside of, course, Malik Nabers, is Tyrann Tracy. Finally, for myself, this is the first time all year I've ranked him inside my top 12 in a given week. We heard last week when discussed his injury was discussed, the reporters came out and basically said, you know, they're getting their RB1 back this week. And like, just like it was nothing, it was expected that we just knew this guy was the known RB1 on the team. The last five games, he was running back 18, 5, 36, 6, 34. And he's got the number one matchup in fantasy football this week against the Carolina Panthers. The guy's averaging 12 touches a game, which isn't great, but he's making hay with it. He's averaging almost 10 fantasy points per game in PPR. And again, you got to remember that's on a season-long thing. So the first 4 weeks of the year, he hadn't even crested 30% of opportunities. So I love where Tyrann Tracy is going right now. And this is a prime spot like Carolina could be potentially looking at, or should have been looking down the line at, is like, ooh, Tyrann Tracy, we got a value late in the round. Okay, cool. Use him up. And this can be our guy for the next 3 years. And they don't have to pay Devin Singletary. They can move on from him next year. They got him and Eric Gray there. Instead, you know, Carolina, who drafted Chuba in the fourth, ran that contract out and then drafted a guy. And then all of a sudden paid the guy. It's just backwards math here. The Giants hopefully do the right thing, move on from Singletary, and we get all the value from Tyrann this week, rest of season, and over the course of the next couple seasons in Dynasty.
Receiver in this game is very straightforward. We're playing Nabers. We're not playing anyone else. We both have Xavier Leggett outside of our top 30 this week, so we're not all excited about that play. So what I'm going to finish up this game with talking is about Danny Dimes, Vanilla Vic, Danny Jones. This week has a really juicy matchup. So if you're streaming quarterback, are you looking at Daniel Jones? He's the Carolina Panthers give up the fourth most fantasy points to opposing quarterbacks, but they're the second most advantageous matchup according to my model. And you have Daniel Jones at quarterback 16. I have him at quarterback 11. But in dire straits, are you willing to stream DJ over here, Daniel Jones?
100%. 100%. I don't have a reason not to. I think he's kind of a tear break by himself. I think I like Stafford against Miami, who I have right after him at 17. But past that, I'm pretty much good. And I have Flacco. I have Mahomes outside that top 16, 17 area as well. So, Mahomes has not been great this year. He's only averaging 15.59 fantasy points per game, which is literally 2 points more than Daniel Jones on the season. And now we have the nuts matchup for Daniel Jones. I'll play Daniel Jones probably in a couple of situations this week, because again, we're talking about four teams on bye: Browns, Raiders, Packers, Seahawks. Guys that would probably be ahead of him generally would be Geno and Love. I probably wouldn't. Well, actually, you know what? I might have Jameis ahead of him if Jameis was playing. So it kind of just narrowly pushes him up the rankings a couple spots. So I think he's going to have plenty of chances this week for people, and probably one QB.
Let's keep the train moving. The next game, the New England Patriots head to Chicago to take on the Bears. The Patriots are 6-point underdogs on the road, but the 38.5 over-under is not all that exciting. Even though it's only 38.5, I think we can hammer the under, and you do not get juice on the under. But you get a little bit of bet, you get a little bit more. But where I want to start this for fantasy football, Cody, is at the wide receiver position for the Bears. This is probably the lowest culmination of rankings for this unit on the entire season. But where I want to take this conversation, so we both have DJ Moore right around 25. You have him at 24. I have him at 26. You have Keenan Allen at 26. I have Roma Dunze at 25. And then you have Adunze at 47. I have Keenan Allen at 44. So we're in lockstep in terms of the value overall in this wide receiver room. You see it going Keenan Allen's way. I see it going Roma Dunze's way. So just talk about the landscape of the wide receiver room in Chicago.
I think it's interesting. You look since the bye in week 7, these guys have all been bad for fantasy. The only player on here with top 24 output was Roma Dunze this last week. He was wide receiver 20. You look at the last three games for Rome, Keenan Allen, and DJ Moore. only Keenan Allen has been in the top 12 in one game. That was week six before the bye. But like I said, since the bye, these last two games, none of them have been great. And then you look at the last four games. Of course, I said Keenan Allen week six was the top 10 guy. DJ Moore, you got to go all the way back to week five when he was a top 10 guy. It feels like it's a week by week thing, matchup based. Keenan Allen has been getting targets, but he just doesn't look like the same Keenan Allen, man. He just looks like he's, I don't know how to do the math on this. He just doesn't look the same. He's dropping the football. He doesn't look as agile in space. I want to move Rome up, but I think the one I feel best about is DJ for upside purposes. Keenan Allen for target purposes is right below him. And then Rome just kind of, for me, I'm just, until Rome takes a clear, like, stranglehold on this room, it's tough. I think he's getting close. It's tough for me right now.
So we're both starting DeAndre Swift with a bunch of confidence. We both have him inside our top 15. Both of us are really not all that excited about Cole Kmet. He's kind of in that wishy-washy section of tight ends, streamers, if you will. Of course, neither of us are playing any New England Patriot players other than Ramondre Stevenson, and he's really kind of start with caution. You got him at 25. I got him at 27. If you have Ramondre as your running back too, are you making other arrangements?
I'm going to try as hard as I can. I don't want to. I mean, yeah, I'm trying as hard as I can to make other arrangements. We talked about Chuba. Of course, he's going to be rostered by most people. Chase Brown, Rico Dowdle. If I'm playing these guys over Ramondre Stevenson. One other player, though, in this game that I wanted to bring up was Hunter Henry. Mm-hmm. I just made an adjustment on him this week up to tight end 10. It's a middling matchup, but he's been maybe the most consistent piece in this New England offense the last 4 weeks. Only one time finishing out to the top 10, getting targeted 27 times the last four games. I don't love it. I haven't loved it, but I tell you what I love. I love the Kayshon Boutte target share, but I mean, there's nothing coming from it. Because I love Kayshon Boutte, but we're not touching that with a 27-foot pole this week, especially. But I think Hunter Henry is maybe the only thing I really want to play in New England.
I'm so glad you brought up Hunter Henry. He's definitely worth mentioning because you put him inside your top 10. I have met tight end 8 this week. I know the matchup isn't great, like you mentioned, but the targets are there. The reliability is there. And as a defensive unit, if they can keep Drake May in the pocket, keep him from scrambling for almost 100 yards like he did last week, I think they can neutralize the outside threats quite easily, and it opens things up for Hunter Henry. Where I need to finish this conversation with, though, is Caleb Williams. I have him outside of my top 20. I'm a bit nervous for him. You, however, have him at QB 15. You have him ahead of Daniel Jones. Is this a get-right opportunity for Caleb Williams, who has a matchup against New England Patriots that is pretty advantageous? They're actually inside of the top 10 of my model.
Yeah, I mean, technically, Caleb has been shitty dog water the last couple of weeks. The last time we saw him have back-to-back shit games, that was week 1 and 2. And then he bounced back with the QB 11 finish, dropped down to QB 22. Then he was top 10 back-to-back weeks. And then he's had these last two games where he's been rather poor. His A dot has been as high as it has been all year. In week 8, it was 12.4. This last week against Arizona, it was 10. The Arizona thing we've talked about all year, especially on the Hurdle on Tuesday nights over on the South Harmon YouTube channel, is Arizona's just been bipolar literally all year. You don't know if it's going to be a close game loss, close game win, shootout loss, or I mean, blowout loss, blowout win. Mm-hmm. They blew out the Bears. They got ahead. They rode it. They ran the ball with Connor. Okay, Benson and DeMarcado look fantastic. Like, the game just got out of hand. I do believe the Bears are, again, we've talked, but they have to win this game. They've lost the last two tight ones, tight to Washington, and then the big loss at Arizona. Now they get to go back home after two straight road games. They get New England, Green Bay, Minnesota. It gets sweeter as the weeks go by. They got to win this game against New England. I do think just before the weather turns at Soldier's Field, I think Caleb's going to turn this thing on 300, maybe a touchdown or two, throwing a couple rushing yards. I think he's got I think I'm a little bit low on him actually this week.
Okay. I mean, that's as someone who's a believer in Caleb Williams, I'd love to see a game where he just looks good again, because he has not over the last 2 weeks.
I've wanted to, I'll be honest with you, Maddie. I've kind of like the tier with, and I know you brought up Daniel Jones, who's right below him, but between Caleb, Rodgers, Russell Wilson, Jaden Daniels, Kyler Murray, that tier of five guys is one that may fluctuate the rest of the week. I talk about this on end, on the show, right? Is stay tapped in all week. If you got any questions about these guys, just tweet at us at Cody Carpentier, at Maddie Kiwoom. I adjust my rankings as the weeks go by. The week goes by. I'm live on SiriusXM on Saturday. You can call in, talk to us about it. Caleb's one that may jump up to 11. Like, he might jump Jaden and Kyler, who have tougher matchups this week for me, by the time Saturday night rolls around.
So let's say he makes that jump. I know you have Goff higher, but it's close enough. Would you start Goff or Caleb Williams?
It's funny you asked. Funny you asked that question. I have both guys in an FFPC team, and I set that lineup already with Goff, and I'm not touching it.
Yeah, I love the Goff matchup. I have Goff in the top eight, but we'll talk more about that game momentarily. Let's move on. The Buffalo Bills are traveling to the Indianapolis Colts, 7-2 versus 4-5. Records be damned, though. The Bills are only giving 4 points as road favorites. Feels like I'll lay those points all day with the way this Bills team's playing. The over-under, however, of 48 is encouraging. We're just going to quickly breeze through. Of course, Allen, we both love Allen. We both love James Cook. We both love Dalton Kincaid. Another player that we both like, both of us have this wide receiver inside our top 30, and I want to hear your thoughts on Khalil Shakir, your wide receiver 28 so far this week.
Khalil Shakir is like the plug your nose and play him, but don't read his name off. Just put him in the lineup and don't touch it. That's like what I'm doing with Khalil Shakir on a weekly basis. I'm like, man, this thing is rancid. It's rancid, but you just have to have him up here. It's a great matchup. He's averaging almost 13 fantasy points per game. He's getting targeted nearly six times a game. You look at the last few weeks, he's been fine. He hasn't been great, but I guess on average, he's been like what, right around that wide receiver 19-20 area. He's had 23 targets the last three games, literally had one incompletion, one uncatchable ball out of all of those. It's tough, man. If Cooper plays, Cooper probably outplays him in fantasy. The Keon Coleman thing on a weekly basis feels like it can blow up. I think it's a volatile spot for Khalil Shakir, but I feel like it's definitely a plug your nose and just, you have to just do it. I think I don't feel good about it. Where do you have him?
I have him at 27. So I'm like, I'm right there with you. I'm plug your nose, play him. But I like the player. What for me, what makes me uneasy is the name you just mentioned, Amari Cooper. You got Amari Cooper at wide receiver 37. I have him at wide receiver 33. Did you put him there because you're not sure if he plays? And if you get the confidence, if you get the note that he is playing, are you going to put him up?
Yeah. Yeah. If I know he's playing, he's probably going to go up. He's probably going to go up between McLaurin and Brian Thomas at like 18.
So that's what I'm hoping for. I'm hoping for that type of production from Amari Cooper, because the marriage between Cooper and Allen seems like such a good one. We saw the potential in his first week in Buffalo, but his second 2 weeks have been, I mean, literal nothings. I mean, it was 2 fantasy points and inactive last week. I have met 33 expecting him to play, so I'm not putting him up. But I would love to see that top 20 type performance so that I can rank him with more confidence going forward. Now, let's talk about the Indianapolis Colts side of the ball. You got Michael Pittman at wide receiver 33. I got him at wide receiver 34. We're both down on him. And if you want to get a good in-depth breakdown as to why we are both down on Michael Pittman, make sure you go to South Harmon's YouTube channel. Scroll down to this week's episode of The Hurdle with 3 Up 3 Don. Because Cody's breakdown of Michael Pittman and why his dynasty stock is down is a must listen, so check that out. But I'm not going to talk about Pittman because we went in depth about Michael Pittman. And if you want to hear that, like I said, go to the YouTube channel and check out this week's episode of The Hurdle. But the player I do want to talk about is Josh Dobbs. You got him at wide receiver 29. I got him at wide receiver 20 this week. Is he the wide receiver that you want each and every week in Indianapolis?
I don't know. Like, this is a poor answer to you, but like, I truthfully, I don't know what I want to do with Indianapolis right now. With Joe Flacco, I feel like I should have a little more belief in the passing game. Mm-hmm. He was, you know, Josh Downs was wide receiver 6 in week 8, but I mean, week 9 he was 28, and week 7 he was 73. So, and he got targeted 8 times each of these last two games, and you see the volatility of wide receiver 6, wide receiver 28, and a lot of those, again, against Minnesota came in the fourth quarter. And Pittman is, I mean, we talked about that. You go over and listen to the YouTube show, he's outside the top 60 the last two games. And Alec Pierce has definitely cooled off from where he was, you know, a month and a half ago. And Adonai Mitchell had a great catch down the left sideline. And Ashton Doolin, they're making a point to get Ashton Doolin on the field. He 0% snaps in week 7 and 8, jumps up to 33% of routes in week 9. I don't want to trust anybody, but if there's one person to trust right now, it's Josh Downs just because of targets.
I agree with that. I do agree with that. And the last name that we didn't mention, and there's a reason for it, Jonathan Taylor, play him. We both have him inside our top 10. He's got a good matchup against the Buffalo Bills. Don't worry about the down week last week. It's Jonathan freaking Taylor. So we both have him as top 10 plays. He's a suit him up, play him type of guy. Let's move on to the next game, though. The Minnesota Vikings hope to keep the winning ways a rolling, take their 6-2 record down to Florida to take on the 2-7 Jacksonville Jaguars. The Jaguars are 4.5-point underdogs at home. The 44.5 over under feels low to me, and that's actually where I want to start this conversation. 44.5 over under. Is this a smash over, or am I missing something? And this game might be a little bit more low scoring.
Well, I tell you this, Maddie, I hope it's not low scoring because I'm going to be at this game. I hope that it's a 31-3 bludgeoning of the Jaguars. I hope Minnesota buries them, but Minnesota does tend to play closer games in Florida for whatever reason. I can remember the last time they played Jacksonville. I think it came down, I guess it's just a Southeast. I mean, they played close in Tampa every year. Jacksonville, they played to a field goal. Miami, I think they lost last time. Carolina, I went to that one. They won by a field goal in overtime. I don't know what it is about traveling to the Southeast, but they do play tight games generally. The weather's going to be, it looks like, 80-ish and potentially rainy. It rains every day in Florida, so I don't take that really much for what it is. I think it's like 20% projected. Jacksonville, I guess, is playing better right now. They're playing tighter, like I just mentioned, against the Vikings, but against the Packers and against the Eagles last 2 weeks, they lost by a combined 8 points. They've scored 50 in those two games. The Eagles game, definitely to me in the first half, didn't feel that way. I literally went to go pick up my wife. It was 22-0 in the third quarter. I come home, and it's 22-16, and I'm like, yo, what the fuck are we doing here? Who would let Jacksonville back in this game? They suck. They can't run the football. Lawrence is like basically Anthony Richardson, throw 50%, a couple picks, but they just, you know, it causes a turnover and get short fields, and all of a sudden they're in the game. And that I don't know. I don't know. As far as the game goes and as far as the players, I guess for the total, I would say I still lean higher than the, we said 44.5.
Yeah.
My question for you, though, and this is the player that I think I had the most interesting time ranking, I have him at 45 right now, is Parker Washington. And it's a great matchup, and he's in the Christian Kirk role, which we talked about, and he's still getting ignored because that's what Parker Washington gets, is ignored. You know, Jalen Coker got a lot of helium last week, and people making fun of people for playing him, and he's still, Coker's still a playable guy in Carolina, but in deeper leagues. But Parker Washington's just getting ignored continually. 6 targets, 3 for 41 last week. Outperformed, out-targeted, out-received Brian Thomas and everybody else except for Evan Ingram in this game. I got him at 45, but I really want to move him up higher. Is that aggressive? Should I leave him where he's at? What's kind of your grasp on this I don't want to say this negatively, but it's like an outsider thought, because I'm very much into the Parker Washington thing, and I was down there at camp, and I'm very bullish on Parker.
I mean, if you want to put him up in your rankings, I think that's absolutely fair game. I have him at 65, but I'll say this. I know the 20 spots difference seems like a Grand Canyon size gap, but doing my ranks this week, I don't know how you felt, but I really felt after I got like around wide receiver 40, I didn't give a flying fuck about the rest of them. So, I mean, 45, 65, it might as well be the same. So I'm not against giving him some helium. I mean, if you have an inkling, if you have a little inkling that he could perform well, I'm glad you brought it up. And our listeners should take that to the bank because, yeah, I got him at 65. But again, outside of my top 40, I just did not give a rip about these wide receivers. It felt so interchangeable as to who was where. I mean, I was looking at a lot of consensus rankings that had Deontay Johnson so low. And I know by the time you're hearing this, that game happens, so you'll have the results. I had him at wide receiver 35. I just felt like, what are you going to do? You're going to rank Jalen Tolbert with Cooper Rush higher? You're going to have more excitement for Sterling fucking Shepard? No, like, it's Deontay Johnson. And I saw that you have him at 41, so you're kind of in line where I am, where we weren't going to slate the Robert Woodses and the Jahan Dotsons ahead of him like a lot of people have. So I think the Parker Washington take was needed because I think if people are looking for flex plays, and remember, the Packers, the Browns, the Raiders, and the Seahawks, there's a lot of fantasy-relevant players on by. You're going to be needing flex plays. I'm glad you brought up Parker Washington. Maybe I'll move him up in my rankings as well.
Interesting you brought up Deontay Johnson. I know the show's going to air after the game, but I did get the prop at 24.5, or I think it's 21.5 receiving yards. I do love that for Deontay. But I'm definitely not going to rank a guy like Deontay anywhere near my top 24 with a prop like 21 yards. Parker Washington, we just got news, and again, we're recording this on Thursday. Trevor Lawrence left shoulder continues to get treatment and weigh options for the future. Sources say he's considered unlikely to play on Sunday against the Vikings. So there is your 44.5 number.
Not
48 or 49.5.
Okay, so how, if that is the case and we do not have Trevor Lawrence this week, how low is Brian Thomas sinking? Because you got him at 18. I got him at 15. We love the player. But I'm telling you, he's going to be below my Khalil Shakir. He's going to be below my Ladd McConkey. He's probably going to settle in my wide receiver 30-35 range. Where are you going to put him?
You want to hear a maniacal take?
I want to hear it.
I kind of want to move him up.
So you think that the backup, who is the backup?
Mac Daddy.
Oh, so yeah, Mac. Oh, well, okay, maybe I won't move him down too much. That's a competent backup. He's not going to be wild. Also, he will hyper-focus on the best player.
If they can give him a second, he'll put that thing down the field. Yeah,
but the Vikings have a sick pass. They're not going to give him a second.
That's true. But if he does get an opportunity, I mean, he's going against Stephon Gilmore. If he gets a step on Gilmore, who played against Gilmore every single day in practice for a couple years?
Jones was, I think they overlapped, yeah. I don't think I'd sink him as far as I was just talking about, but I am probably going to sink him a handful of spots.
That's fair.
With that being the case.
Okay, let me ask you, just because we're on Jacksonville and it's a thing here. Brian Thomas, I mean, I don't even know I haven't looked at your rankings at all. I think you've looked at mine, but Brian Thomas or George Pickens?
Right now I have Thomas. He'll be below Pickens.
Darnell Mooney.
He'll be below Darnell Mooney. So he'll fall outside of my top 24. But now we're getting hot.
Ladd McConkey,
who does he get this week? Where am I at here? Let me look at the schedule here.
Titans.
I'd probably go Brian Thomas over Ladd. So I have Ladd at 31, so he'll stay inside my top 30.
Okay.
I'm glad we did that. While we're on Jacksonville Jaguars, we got to talk about their backfield situation. You and I are both lockstep. We aren't playing either. You have Etienne at 33, Bigsby at 35. I have Bigsby at 30, Etienne at 31. Both are outside of our top 25. But if a team has both and they need to play them, they have, let's say, Josh Jacobs and they've been playing Alexander Mattison. They need to play him. Who are you going to bat for, Etienne or Bigsby this week?
Dude, like, I'll be honest with you, I don't want to play either one.
No, me neither.
Especially in this
show that.
Especially the last couple games has been brutal. Etienne's not 100%. Bigsby's come back down to earth. Vikings defense, especially with no Trevor Lawrence, is gonna squeeze even tighter. It's gonna get suppressed completely. Probably if you have both, probably Etienne for targets, probably. But dude, you know what? I'm probably going to move both these guys down a touch if there's no Lawrence. And you know who's literally two spots below Tank and four spots below ETN? It's completely idiotic. I feel better about Cam Akers than I do either of these guys in the same game.
Ooh, baby boy. I mean, I don't...
Idiotic take, but...
I don't think it's that idiotic. I really don't know. I have Akers a bit lower, but... he's clearly the running back two right now in Minnesota. I mean, they brought him back and they gave him some touches last week. But I think this is what I was going to ask you, because I think this is the splash of cold water in everyone's face, especially in my seasonal league brothers. This guy is probably readily available. He's probably on a lot of free agent markets. He's not getting a lot of hype given his situation. But if you see Tyler Allgeier out there, are you starting Allgeier or one of these Jacksonville Jaguars backs?
Oh, Allgeier.
Me too. Me too. I mean,
there's at least a level of dependency in Allgeier that on a weekly basis, granted, it's not as like maniacal as Arthur Smith, but like there's a level of like, I know I'm getting touches from this guy and opportunities, and there's a chance he scores a touchdown. The other two guys, this fucking team is not good. So I don't know what I'm supposed to expect out of this team.
Right. Right. Could be absolute duds. I agree with you. I would turn over to Tyler Allgeier. Let's talk about the Vikings, and we'll knock through this pretty quickly. It's pretty straight up. We both like Sam Darnold. If you had Jordan Love, Sam Darnold is a great streamer this week. We both have him inside our top 10. Of course, Aaron Jones is a play. Both Jordan Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison, both inside our top 30s. They are absolute smash plays. But where we're going to end this conversation in this game, TJ Hawkinson. You got him at tight end 10. I got him at tight end 12. We both have him as starting tight ends. A dud week one off of injury. But what's your level of excitement for TJ Hawkinson this week and maybe a little bit above beyond?
It was a dud, but dude, it was a you know, number 22 overall tight end, four targets, first game back, caught three balls, showed that he had you know, abilities out there. You know, was in on 24 routes. Josh Oliver on 14 routes, which just happened to be the one that went 5 for 5, 58 yards and a tug. Those were all Hawkinson's numbers. I mean, come on, like Hawkinson literally ran 10 more routes than this guy. Munt even got an end zone target. Like, this is going to circle right around to TJ Hawk Daddy. I thought it was going to be the perfect situation on Sunday Night Football to kind of showcase the guy, but they got a game in under his belt. Now it's go time. If you can get anything on this guy in the prop market, in DFS, anything, this will be a week that I want to be in on Hawkinson. And to be honest with you, Maddie, it's a week, like, as far as the rankings go, I think I have him at what you said, 10. I think I have him at 11 now because I moved Henry up there. Hawk, you could probably, I mean, would you be shocked if he was tight end one this week? No.
Jacksonville's putrid, stopping pass catchers in fantasy. They're the third easiest matchup for pass catchers in my model. So I like Hawkinson this week. And I think your point was the most valid that people need to gravitate towards, was the tight ends were involved last week. It just didn't go Hawkinson's way. Eventually, the other two will just completely disappear, and it will be the Hawk show. So if the tight ends are getting targets, it'll be tight end. It'll be Hawkinson going forward.
I'm not going to say they're going to disappear because Minnesota runs three tight sets for
Cody. They're going to, right, in a football sense, they will not disappear. In a fantasy sense, they will absolutely disappear.
100%. No. I agree. Like I'm just saying, they run these three tight end sets for whatever reason. They've always done it. And Hawkinson is going to be the one that does this. But don't be shocked if Oliver does some dumb shit. He's an athletic demon as well, coming out of San Jose. So it's just is what it is. But I think Oliver could, you know, be a bit of a little cunt there.
A wee bit of a cunt. All right, let's move on to a divisional matchup in the AFC West. The 5-4 Denver Broncos travel to Arrowhead Stadium to take on the undefeated Super Bowl defending Kansas City Chiefs. The Broncos are 7.5-point underdogs on the road. Last week against the Ravens, they showed they're just not ready for prime time after getting dog walked by one of the best teams in the AFC. Despite being 5-3 last week, the over under of 42, I think, should be a warning sign for us fantasy gamers that this game is not really a Chiefs bonanza like we had thought. We're both pretty low on Mahomes. I have him at QB 10. You took the ballsy route and put him at QB 20. And I'm here to say me putting him at 10 is just a pussy way of saying he could be as low as 20. I'm looking to make other arrangements. I got Daniel Jones in that same range. I might play Daniel Jones over Patrick Mahomes. I don't know if it's 2015 or 18, whatever the year was, but Kareem Hunt is back, baby. We both have him inside our top 20. Last week, 20 carries, over 100 yards from scrimmage, a touchdown. It's been a weekly workhorse role for Kareem Hunt, so we're going to go back to that well. Travis Kelce, 8 targets, 24 receptions. He's been absolutely maniacal over the last two Chiefs games, so we both have him inside our top three. He is a must play at tight end. But where this conversation needs to go in terms of the Kansas City Chiefs are the pass catchers. We saw DeAndre Hopkins, 2 touchdowns last week. You went ahead and put him at wide receiver 16 this week. Is it D-Hop season in Kansas City?
Why not? Why not is my biggest overarching question here. This guy's 47 receptions away from 1,000. I think he knows that. And he looks rejuvenated. Who wouldn't be rejuvenated? Having one time played with, he played with Deshaun Watson for 1 year. Then he went to Kyler. Kyler's a head case. He goes to Tennessee. That place is just a wreck. And now he gets to go play with Patty Mack and the Funky Bunch and try to win a title. I mean, this is the nut spot for a 32-and-a-half-year-old wide receiver with, electricity or elasticity in his fingertips in those, 3X gloves. This year, in these opportunities in this role, we saw Rashee Rice finish as a wide receiver 3. We saw our guy Juju Smith, one game Schuster, finished as wide receiver 12 on 8 targets. And then in Hopkins' second game, he finishes as wide receiver 4. Those are the 3 best finishes on this offense outside of Xavier Worthy's week 1 that came predominantly from that rushing touchdown. This is the role, right? We still don't have Pacheco yet. We're probably going to get Pacheco back soon. Hunt, you just talked about him. He's 7th or 8th in the NFL right now in rushing yards per game, which mm-hmm. is maniacal. But as far as Hopkins goes, I believe this thing. I believe in this Hopkins thing. And when I did the ranking today and put him at 16, I was thinking to myself, well, it's a tough matchup against Pat Surtain. But then I go to myself, Maddie, sometimes, and we know this, a lot of times it matters, right? I get the corner you're playing against. Pat Surtain's the best in the league right now. Mm-hmm. A lot of times this matters. But sometimes when you have one of the, again, not the most athletic wide receiver, but one of the more, how do I phrase this? One of the more majestically gifted route runners and contortionists at the wide receiver position in DeAndre Hopkins with the biggest hands and a quarterback that can put the ball literally anywhere, sometimes it doesn't matter as tight mm-hmm. the coverage. As tight of coverages that you have. I still think Hopkins gets there in this game. You saw him have 2 touchdowns this past week. I'm not saying he's going to be definitely going to score a touchdown. He's not Derrick Henry of the wide receivers or anything like that, but I definitely see him getting plenty of work here as he just jumped right into the mix in Kansas City this last week on 35 routes. He clipped off 69%. I think that's probably going to stay around that area. We saw guys like Justin Watson get run in this last game. We saw Mecole Hardman out there. Justin Ross was activated. These guys are going to be out there running routes and should be. They should keep some of the tread off of DeAndre's legs, but I do like Hopkins quite a bit this week.
We love the role for Rashee Rice. We chase the role for Juju Smith-Schuster. Don't change pace now. Of course, DeAndre Hopkins should be started. I got him at wide receiver 22, so I like Hopkins this week. I want to ask you a dynasty question surrounding the Kansas City Chiefs. If I told you that Xavier Worthy was going to be Jameson Williams and Rashee Rice, is that a success or a failure given the hype, the draft capital, all the intangibles?
Wait, say that again?
If Xavier Worthy in Dynasty turns out to be a Jameson Williams or Rashid Shaheed type of player, is that a success?
You said Rashee Rice the first time, and I kind of was like, wait, what?
No, definitely not.
Yeah, Shaheed and Jameson. I think that's proper. The thing is, Shaheed is a one trick pony, and his one trick is phenomenal. Jameson is a little more crafted as a wide receiver, as a route runner, and Worthy's even more crafted, but he's even more fast. So I think if you can say that. I think you're right. I think that's the comp line, but I think he's more crafted. It might just take him a little bit longer. He's a little more fragile than both those guys. I think you're right. That's fair.
I would say this in Dynasty, if I have Xavier Worthy, and I do, if your expectation is Rashid Shaheed and Jameson Williams, I'm selling now. I'm getting out ahead of it. I'm getting value now. I'm not waiting. I am willing to wait, though, because I think there's still DeSean Jackson in the range of outcomes. And that's worth waiting on. We saw DeSean and Tyreek Hill. I know that's blasphemy, but this is what we thought could be in the range of outcomes with regards to Xavier Worthy as a super speedster. Both Tyreek Hill and DeSean Jackson both went for over 1,100 yards in their sophomore season. And I'm willing to give Xavier Worthy that sophomore season to produce. But if you roster him and you believe he's on a track to be Jameson Williams and Rashid Shaheed, I'd fucking sell. I'd sell right now. That's not what we were hoping for with this type of player. Yeah, he might be able to evade the Ross comparison, but Shaheed and Jameson Williams is not what I was hoping for when I saw this kid at Texas and when I saw this kid drafted by the Kansas City Chiefs. On the Broncos side of things, we're both fading Bo Nix, but I think Bo Nix is one of the biggest buys in Dynasty right now. If you look at his warp, his wins over replacement, he's a top 10 quarterback, and yet he's not being valued as such. So I think he's a screaming buy. But in our seasonal leagues, we're fading him this week. We both have him outside of our top 15. We both have Cortland Sutton in the flex range, so there's really not much to talk about there, even though he's been good. Tough matchup keeps him around wide receiver 30, so he's a play for three wide receivers or flex. Where I want to end this conversation in this matchup, Javonte Williams. It's been an absolutely a roller coaster ride from hell rostering and playing Javonte Williams. We both though have him inside our top 30. You have him at 24. I have him at 26. Talk about Javonte Williams, my friend.
Man, I'm just like sitting here looking at his prop numbers right now. 38.5 rushing yards this week against the Kansas City Chiefs. Last week it was at 36.5. I took it against Baltimore, and it was a range of emotions. I'll tell you that. He got 42 out of it. He had 44 against the Panthers, 88 against the Saints, a little 23 measly little fart against the Chargers. He had 61 against the Raiders. And the thing is back, you know, the game against the Raiders back on October 6th, like, that's kind of the one that was like, hey, we're starting to cook now. We're starting to see the snap share go up, go north, bang, 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 more opportunities, more targets. And then that next game came against the Chargers, and it was kind of a dud. He had 68% of the snaps. He dropped down to running back 35 on the week, and it's like, man, bounces back, 88 yards on the ground, running back 5. And then these last two games, he's been right at that 40 marker against the easiest opponent to run the football against, the Panthers. He has 44 yards, and the hardest, literally first and worst, he has 44 and 42 yards against each of these guys, finishes his running back 27 and 30. So as far as like anybody trying to predict expectation in this game, I don't know how you can believe anybody in this thing, because he's literally just played the worst and the first back to back and gave you the same exact pretty much output. Denver's interesting for sure. As far as playing Javonte in fantasy, I have a little more Javonte than I'd like, Maddie.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm indifferent. I have him ranked aggressive, but I wouldn't tell you right now to your face that I wouldn't think about playing a Ray Davis or a Cam Akers or a Roshan or some maniacal shit like this. I wouldn't put that out of the window as far as something I might do on Sunday morning.
I will say this, that I think Javonte's role is pretty safe, but if you have the deep benches in seasonal, or if you can get your hands on him in Dynasty, go get Audric Estime. He still looks like the best running back in this backfield. I'm sorry. 7 yards a carry last week. When they put him on the field and he doesn't fumble immediately, he seems to be pretty damn good at football. So I like stashing me some Audric Estime if possible. Let's move on to the next game, and I'm going to take this warp speed. I really have one question for you, so we're just going to run through this. The 6-3 Falcons take on the newly head coached by Frank Rizzi, or whatever his name is, Fran Rizzi. What's his name? Something Rizzi? I've never really heard of him. Anyway, New Orleans Saints in 2-7. The Rizzler, yeah. The Rizzler. They've lost 7 straight. It's been a really rough go at it, but the over-under of 46 is pretty good for fantasy, and I think our rankings reflect that. Saints, however, getting 3.5 points at home doesn't seem like the gap there is all that way. Maybe they're thinking head coaching bump. Fantasy-wise, though, we both like Cousins. You really like Cousins, and Cousins has been good, so I'm not going to fight you on it. Alvin Kamara, Bijan, both smash plays for us heading into this game. We both have Kyle Pitts inside our top 12. I'm at 10. You have him at 8, so he's actually inside our top 10, so you're definitely playing there. We both like London. We both like Mooney. We both got both of these guys inside our top 24 receivers. So we love that there. But the question I'm going to ask you, Cedric Wilson Jr., is your wide receiver 35 this week? Defend that ranking, my friend.
Last time these teams played, 26-24 Falcons win. Carr at the helm, threw the ball 36 times. Olave, 10 targets, 8 for 80. Shaheed, 11 targets, 8 for 83. Kamara, 9 targets, 7 for 42. No Olave, no Shaheed in this game. Cedric Wilson, again, sounds like a dust ball, sounds like a dirt ball. He might be, he once was, he always did have one single game per year, kind of like your Josh Kelly from last week. He didn't play, he didn't do much against it for Tennessee, but he'll give you one game per year. Said Wilson, just a few weeks ago, week 7, gave us a game. Wide receiver 8 in fantasy football in PPR. That happened. Cedric Wilson, 7 targets, wide receiver 8. It can and it will happen again, and he will be at least in the top 40. I'm not putting it out there that he can't finish even higher. He's probably a pretty solid DFS play this week. Again, it's Thursday where I'm talking right now. Said Wilson, I think, is a very employable DFS play.
I like that. I might even move him up my ranks. I got him at 47, but as I said earlier on, I just really didn't give a fuck after wide receiver 40, so he could move up. I'm glad you put him at 35, and we were able to talk about a player that could be a sneaky, sneaky producer in week 10. That is exactly why you turn in or tune into the walkthrough each and every week. This next game could have been an absolute banger, but we shall see given the injuries to one of the teams this season. San Francisco 49ers coming out of the bye, head to Florida to take on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Buccaneers are 6-point home underdogs, mainly because of those injuries. But the over-under of 50.5, rejoice, fantasy folks. There's going to be a lot of scoring. And we have to start here because it's the biggest talking point in all of fantasy football right now. Christian motherfucking McCaffrey, limited in practice this week. Sounds like he might play. You have him running back 5. You're putting him right back in his throne. I got him at 11, but this is my ranking is based on the wishy-washy ability of him to play. If I know he's playing, he's shooting right back up inside my top 5 as well. Let's talk about it. Christian McCaffrey.
I don't know how the stone cold cucks don't put him at RB1. I'm not that. I barely want to have him at 5, but and I'm talking to you, Alex Dunlap, the stone cold cucks putting Christian McCaffrey at running back 1. I'm fully expecting to see this thing, you know, Trash Man and Alex to put these guys at running back 1, Christian McCaffrey, go right back to the well. This guy's got, you know, double Achilles tendonitis. I don't know. I this is like a, you know, I'm not saying he's going to go TJ Hockenson. I'm not saying he's going to go Juju Smith-Schuster on us. You know, Juju, bang. He comes back and plays with the Chiefs, bang. Or TJ Hockenson comes back and he gives you kind of a dud. I don't know what he's going to give you, but I don't think he's going to give you the you know, a classic McCaffrey 40 fucking pointer. So I have him at running back 5 right now, but I think I could make an easy decision and bump him down between Taylor and James Cook. And potentially even a little bit lower than that with, you know, Tracy and Swift having juicy matchups like they do. And Gibbs sitting down there, he's got a tough matchup, but Gibbs has had elite opportunities so far this year, averaging 15 touches per game. Aaron Jones got a juicy matchup. Like, I think a real conservative take would be to probably have McCaffrey below those guys and just ahead of Najee and J.K. Dobbins.
Okay.
Does that make sense? Is that stupid?
No, I don't think it's stupid at all. I think it's good. I think a lot of people are going to have him right at the top, and they're going to put him right back there. I think they needed to hear the nuanced take. I think they needed to hear a better breakdown and get on planet Earth in terms of expectations for the most prolific fantasy player we have in our generation. I think it just needs – sometimes you need a little bit of water thrown on the face. You can't just go fucking buck wild. Now, the rest of this game is pretty straightforward. Okay, we don't love – Baker Mayfield because he didn't really have the weapons. We both have both Rashad White and Bucky Irving outside of our top 24, so we're looking to make other arrangements if possible. We both have George Kittle at tight end 1. He's been a beast. He's been the only true difference maker in tight end, according to Warp. He's been a top 10 tight end guy, according to wins over replacement. The only one that's made a difference. We both like him. We both like Purdy. We have him at QB5. So we've kind of settled through the dust. We kind of settled through all of these takes here. Of course, we like Deebo Samuel. He's a must start. Where I want to take the conversation before we move on, Ricky Pearsall. You have met wide receiver 46. I have met wide receiver 37. But as we've stated multiple times, it's in this mishmash of who gives a rip. Over 10 points out of, before the bye. Coming out of the bye is usually where you see players of this caliber, these rookies, maybe get a jump in role. What are your expectations of Pearsall coming out of the bye?
I love Pearsall. I think we both love Pearsall. Rookies in general definitely in buys take jumps, right? They get more opportunities, more game plans around them. I think that makes sense for a Ricky Pearsall, but the other side of the coin has to be Juwan Jennings is expected back this week. So I'm a little more hesitant with Juwan Jennings expected back. Again, we got a couple days till kickoff, so I'll kind of keep my nose on the dobber or my dobber down for that one. I think Ricky has shown you enough, though. I mean, it's a good matchup against Tampa. They got a bunch of youth backups out there playing cornerback. So Pearsall's shown you already he can be a top 50 guy. I think I have him in a spot where I like him, but he's kind of in a prove it spot for me as well.
Moving on, Pittsburgh Steelers are taking on the Washington Commanders, an unexpectedly great football matchup. 6-2 versus 7-2. It is a 3-point difference. Commanders are laying 3 points as home favorites, which is basically a pick 'em game when you factor in the home and away. The over-under of 45 is definitely a bit lower based on, obviously, the defense of the Steelers, the coming out of the bye factor for Mike Tomlin, and the surprisingly decent defense for the Commanders. Now, when you look at our rankings, we are pretty much fading this game relative to how we've ranked players week to week. Now, we still like Terry McLaurin as top 20 play, but we have him at 16 and 17. He's a perennial top 12, top even top 10 guy, the way he's been playing with Jaden Daniels. We both like Brian Robinson season totals, but you got him at 28. I got him at 24. Faded. I'd say that's a depressed ranking. Jaden Daniels, you have him at 12. I have him at 6. But that's a far cry from the top 3 that he's been over the last month. So let's talk about the overall nature of the game. Do you see this being a defensive battle, a slug, an old school type of game?
I'd be lying if I didn't say I was worried about Jaden in this game. I think that's just the easiest way to say it.
They're going to get after that ass. I mean, they're going to get after that ass, and they can cover on the back end. This will be the biggest challenge in his young career.
Yeah, and he hasn't been, you know, I know we love him, and he's been a wagon all year, but he hasn't been inside the top 10 in fantasy since week 4. 12, 10, 28, 11, 10. So I have him here at 12, and I like you said, they're going to get after that ass. I think his prop number's around 40 rushing yards. That's a very volatile number. I wouldn't touch that thing with anything because I think it's a real opportunity. He doesn't run or that he runs a shit ton. So as far as the game goes, I think I like Pittsburgh in it. Generally, I think it's going to be a really good game. Wish it was the 4:25 game. Wish they could flex that Eagles Cowboys blowout into this 1 o'clock window.
Jesus Christ. Just come on, man. This is, the NFL does so many things right, but yet they still get so much shit wrong. Like, this game being a 1 o'clock slate is ridiculous. They only have three games at 4 o'clock. We're almost an hour into the show, Cody. We haven't got to the 4 o'clock games yet. And I know it sounds like, oh man, these guys can go for 2 hours. No. We're gonna be done at the normal time. It's just only 3 4 o'clock games. You could have put this game in the marquee matchup, the 4 o'clock, the game of the week in four. They didn't, and it's a bit disappointing. Now, I agree with you. I don't think we can expect big numbers overall. And I think the 45 point over-under, I think people are going to hate to hear this. I'm going to put some shillings on the under. I really see this game being a slugfest type of game, which means one thing, and we both picked up. And again, we don't talk about our rankings prior to this recording. We come in fresh on purpose so that we could see certain things, but God damn it, are we alike. The world is fading Najee Harris. Not you or I. We both have him inside our top 20. You have him at 16. I have him at 17. I think you could fire up Najee Harris all day long. Talk to me about Najee Harris, Cody.
Why not? I mean, this is a great matchup for Najee Harris. It's a great matchup. So it's a great matchup for this backfield. I just talked about it kind of tongue in cheek with Christian McCaffrey, but, and I made the adjustment live for those wondering. I made the McCaffrey adjustment live. I put him down to running back 15, and guess who's 16? Najee Harris with his 19. Count them up. 1, 2, 3, 19 touches per game to this point this year. Najee Harris, you know, as donk as he is and as donk of a play as it seems on a weekly basis to play Najee Harris, yeah, he's running back 23 on the season. A lot of that comes from the first, you know, 4 weeks of the season. He's running back 31, 29, 28, 28. But the last three games, Matty Kiwum, running back 9, 14, and 16. And guess what happened in those last three games? Well, I think, if I'm not mistaken, they've won those last three games and they've scored 26 or more points. And there might be one more thing. Is there one more thing?
He's got over 100.
Russell Wilson. That's right. Russell Wilson's a quarterback.
Mr. Unlimited's back.
Unlimited, aka unlocking. Mr. Unlocking Najee Harris.
Yeah, baby. I'm going to say this, and maybe people can get all butthurt about it. I think if they win this game, then they need him to be well, to play well. I think that you see a lot of Jalen Warren, but it's not going to be enough. We saw, you just said it, 19 touches a game. Derrick Henry is exactly who we thought he was going to be this year. It just took him some time to get going. Just took the big guy a few weeks to get rumbling. But I love Najee Harris this week relative to the field, so I'm going to be firing me up some Najee Harris. As I mentioned, this 4 o'clock slate kind of sucks, so we're going to kind of hit hyperspeed. Tennessee Titans travel out west to take on the Los Angeles Chargers. Tennessee Titans are getting 7.5 points as road underdogs. The over-under of 39 suggests you should stay away from this game pretty much across the board, other than one guy, Tony Pollard. You have him at running back 21. I got him at running back 20. He's been banged up, though. I think we're both pretty lockstep as to why this perennial top 12 producer is around running back 20. Has to do with the injury, have to do with the matchup. Talk about anyone you want in this game, because I think it's pretty much fade. I don't want to start any Titans. I don't want to start that's not named Tony Pollard. And I don't want to start any Chargers that are not named Ladd McConkey. I think that's where I'm at.
And J.K. Dobbins next.
Boom. That's all you need to know. Yeah, J.K.'s definitely a play. You stick to those type of things. This game might be a sneaky shootout. I think this is one of those games that actually we look back on and go, damn, there's a lot of fantasy points. The New York Football Giants travel to State Farm Stadium to take on the 5-4 division leading Arizona Cardinals. The Cardinals are getting a point at home, but the over-under 46, I like seeing that. Are we just firing up our Cardinals and Jets here?
I think we are, and I'm going to go out on a limb here. Again, this is a thing we've talked about all year, right? Tight loss against the Bills, blowout win against the Rams, tight loss to the Lions, blowout loss to the Commanders, tight win against the Niners, blowout loss to the Packers, tight win against the Chargers, tight win against the Dolphins, blowout win against the Bears. What's coming, Maddie? What's coming?
Blowout
loss at home to the Jets.
Yep.
Into a bye. I think Arizona, I like Arizona, but this is what this team is. I know I'm trying to paint them as like a divisional contender. We talked about it. Dude, you know what? Those tickets in this offseason, plus 1,100, plus 1,300 to win the division. How you like me then? How you like me now?
I got it, you know? Baby.
Like, and I don't, but now I feel worse about it right now. I think that they're probably a 9-8 football team, and this is a perfect letdown spot before they go into a bye. Two road games coming out. Two of the first three games off the bye are against Seattle with Minnesota squished in there. They need this game badly, but guess who else needs it badly? The New York Jets, Jets, who also have a bye in 2 weeks, and they need to win this game just as bad. They're on the elimination game has been in conversation right now for the college football playoff. They're in an elimination type of situation from here on out, and they have very winnable games over the course of the next month and a half, and they need to start stacking. And they began that last week against Houston. I like Adams. I like Wilson. I got him ranked back-to-back this week. It's kind of hard to hate him. They just traded away Mike Williams. Alan Lazard's on IR. Conk Daddy, sure, he may get a touchdown. He may get a target here or there. But this thing's funneled. Man, this thing is going to be just funneled on a snap-by-snap basis to both of these cats out there, wide receiver Davante Adams and Garrett Wilson, ranked 10 and 11. The only other duo, actually, that's wrong. There's three duos in my top 12 right now. Cooper Kupp, Puka Nacua, 7-8. Devonta Adams, Garrett Wilson, 10-11, and then A.J. Brown, Devonta Smith, who are both questionable, 6 and 12, respectively, inside the top 12. So that's three duos in there. I feel really good about these guys. Breece, I probably feel less great about, but he's got a good matchup nonetheless. And then on the opposite side in Arizona, do you have a favorite? I mean, I ranked Greg Dortch, didn't want to. I think Marv's in a fine spot, but that's going to be a fun matchup to watch. Some aliens.
Oh, yeah.
Sauce and Marv, some aliens. That's going to be a fun one. I like McBride. Do you think there's any chance we get a little more Benson this week than we did even last week?
No, because I think DeMarcado's playing good. So I think that whatever added touches we'd see from Benson get capped because we'll see it from both running backs. There's a situation where this devolves into a lead back situation for Connor, but the other two guys play so much and it gets to the point where we're ranking all three of them. Kind of like we ranked the Buccaneers when Rashad White came back, when we didn't know how it was going to pan out. We didn't know it was going to go back to just two guys. I think that is what we could see for the Cardinals. And they were successful with it last week. So I don't see them going back to a straight bell cow thing for Connor. And our rankings reflect that. I got Connor at 22. You have him at 26. So we're outside of the top 20 for a guy that's been a producer. And it's because these other guys are getting touches. Now, you mentioned Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown. So let's go and transition to the Philadelphia Eagles traveling to Jura's World to take on the hopeless Dallas Cowboys. The Cowboys are getting 7 points at home. No Dak. It's probably why. Over under 43 is a bit discouraging, but we love our Eagles this week. You got Hurts at 2. So do I. You got Barkley at 1. So do I. You mentioned having both Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown in your top 12. Well, so do I. So we are firing up our Eagles across the board. And when it comes to the Cowboys, we got Dowdle. You got to start him as a running back too if you need to. But where I just need this conversation to go, and we'll move on. CeeDee Lamb, what are your expectations on Lamb without Dak Prescott?
Is he going to play?
It sounds like he may not, but if he does, he'll be playing pretty healthy. He'll be pretty healthy if he plays. I have him ranked, so I'm expecting him to play.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't have much. I don't want to touch anything in Dallas, I'll be honest with you. Ferguson, I have ranked pretty aggressively at the moment. Probably going to bump him down. It's not – tight ends in this matchup generally, against tight ends this year so far, the Eagles and Cowboys are each second worst and fourth worst in receptions allowed. The Cowboys have allowed just 25 receptions to tight ends. Eagles have allowed just 33. No touchdowns allowed by the Eagles to tight ends. Tight end feels like a likely spot for Cooper Rush to focus here. I think we can get a 7-10 target game from Jake Ferguson. Rico, why not do it again? Why not another 100-yard game? If Lamb plays, you got to play him. But
yeah,
I mean, the whole, that's it. That's all I'm interested in right now. Rico, sure. Ferguson, sure. Lamb, if he plays. Otherwise, no. And then you talked about the Eagles side. It's pretty straightforward on the Eagles side about everything.
Yeah, and I got Lamb at 9. You got him at 6. So we're firing up Lamb. We're not getting away from it. And Field Yates tweeted this out a couple days ago, and shout out to Field Yates. CeeDee Lamb in weeks 2 through 6 of 2022 when Cooper Rush filled in for Dak. 7 for 75, 8 for 87 in the touch, 6 for 97 in the touch, 5 for 53, 5 for 68. You're not going to, that's fine. Even if it's the 5 and 53, that's a 10.3 fantasy point game. If that's his floor, you're playing him. You don't have that many options to bench a guy like CeeDee Lamb. So my expectations are obviously tempered, but hell, 14 targets is still on the table if they're just playing catch-up mode at the end. So if he plays, you're playing Mr. CeeDee Lamb. Now let's take this to prime time, my friend. Two games left on the slate. The Sunday night football game is a fun one and could be even more fun this week. Detroit Motor City Kitties take their 7-1 record to take on the 6-3 Houston Texans at NRG Stadium in Tejas. The Lions are only giving 3.5, but the over-under 49 is nice. I think we could also see that number tick up because it looks like the big dog will be back this week, Nico Collins. I did not rank him. You did at 9. If he is healthy, he will be inside my top 10 with ease. Talk about Nico. Do you think he's going to be back? And what are your expectations for him in his first week back?
Why not? I mean, if he's back, which we saw today, I'll reread the note to you that I read and why I ranked him was
I read no setbacks, passes all hamstring tests, not practicing. But there's also a report that came out last night from the Houston Chronicle, ready to go for Texans after hamstring injury. Not practicing, ready to go. I think that's more of a chess Wednesday. Game. It was Wednesday type of a thing.
Yeah,
I think they'll ramp him up today, Thursday, as we're talking. Friday, he'll get run. This is a Sunday night game, so he really gets a bit longer than usual, right? It's not a noon game, so he gets like an extra 12 hours technically in the grand scheme of prep. So I don't read much into the Wednesday injury report. Thursday and Friday are bigger for me. I'm sure he's limited today, full tomorrow on Friday. Again, I know I'm speaking in days here, and I know we're recording this thing a day before it releases, but I'm assuming he's limited Thursday, full Friday, and we'll be Gucci for Sunday night. They need Nico bad. Houston just does not look like the same Houston. This is CJ's Marvin Harrison from college. They're 2-2 the last four games, two losses to the Packers and Jets, and their wins came against the putrid Pats and Colts. They need to play ball here because they got the Lions in Sunday Night Football, and the next week they got Monday Night Football in a battle for the state of Texas against Dallas. So big stretch coming up here for the Houston Texans with a couple division games. They need Nico to be healthy. So I'm not sure it's a 90% route participation, but I do think it's a solid target share for Nico.
If Nico plays, I will move CJ Stroud up. I got him at quarterback 13 right now, but he'll probably be inside my top 10, but barely this week. You have him at QB 7. So we're not super excited about Stroud, but in most places, you're probably going to have to fire him up. When we're talking about the Lions, it's pretty straight up and down. We both like Goff as a top 10 quarterback. We like both running backs inside our top 20. There's a lot of nincompoops out there that have David Montgomery outside of the top 24. Why? I don't care about the matchup. They just run these two guys to such success. Each and every week, they got to be top 20 players. So we both like them. Amon-Ra is both inside our top five, so we love Amon-Ra. But here is where a discussion needs to be had, my friend. Sam Laporta, everyone's dynasty one, tight end one. He's here. He's the best. Oh, Sam Laporta. He's absolutely sucked this year. You have him at tight end 12. I got him at tight end 14 this week. If you have been relying on Sam Laporta, and I don't know how you haven't given up yet, is now the time to give up on Laporta in seasonal leagues.
Yeah, with Waymo back, Waymo Jamo returning, I think the hope has to go back to nil. I thought for sure, especially with Jamo out, that there's going to be more opportunity. It just so happened that the game scripts went the direction they did, disallowing Laporta to kind of awaken in 2024, which scares you from a fantasy perspective. I know he had, you know, tight end 8, tight end 9, but at the tight end position, he did that tight end 9 game with like one target. So I don't think it's dead. You can't sell him in Dynasty. You can't do anything like that, but yeah, man, not good.
Let me ask you this. You're in a seasonal league, and someone might be in this situation. You're fighting for the playoffs, right? So you want to win. You have Sam Laporta. He's really your only droppable piece if getting another tight end. You got good running backs on the bench, good wide receivers. You don't want to drop any of those to have two tight ends. But you see Zach Ertz and Hunter Henry out there on the waiver wire. Are you dropping Laporta for Zach Ertz or Hunter Henry in seasonal right now?
Yeah.
Me too.
I think so. I think so. Kate Otten.
Oh, that's a smash. I mean, Kate Otten's here now. You have him at tight end 2. I got him at tight end 3. We didn't even bring him up. That's how locked in Kate Otten is right now.
Well, I know, but like Tiger was texting me like literally, yeah, it was today. So literally on Tuesday night. And again, this is when the waivers ran on Tuesday night. So obviously it's gone now, but he's like, I'm trading. He traded TJ Hawkinson for, listen to how dumb this is. Tiger, if you're like, Tiger probably don't listen because he's a twank, but he traded TJ Hawkinson for Chris Boswell. In a seasonal league. You hear this? Chris Boswell, the kicker? Yeah. He traded for a kicker because he has, I don't know, some kicker. He is like, I badly need a kicker. He says, whatever. He traded Hockenson for Boswell because he knew he could pick up Cade Otton. He also has Dalton Kincaid on the roster. I'm like, dude, like this is dumb. Like the fact that I don't know if that's a general thing. I didn't even ask him how big that league was, but like Cade Otton being available, it just tells you kind of the landscape of the tight end position. That's more so what I'm getting at. I know the kid is probably a fucking four team league for all I know. But even like we didn't talk about Carolina really in depth as we shouldn't have, because there's no reason to, but I mean, even look at the Jatavion Sanders the last 4 weeks.
Love it. Love what I've seen out of Sanders.
In three of the four games, 18 targets in three of the four games. The one game, yeah, he had a turd, one target, but Sanders looks good. Sanders looks like Texas Jatavion Sanders, and that's giving you a ton more than you're getting out of LaPorta right now on a weekly basis. He's the funnel.
In Dynasty, let me ask you this. You're a contender. You look over at a team that's not winning. They have Cade Otton. They've been sitting on him in Dynasty, but they don't really need him. They're not looking for him. If you have Sam LaPorta, are you trading him for Cade Otton if you're contending this year? In Dynasty.
I need some more, though.
You would want to get that second piece. You might be able to, but it ain't going to be much the way Otten's playing.
Yeah, but the thing is, you're selling low on LaPorta, and you're buying in a spot where there's Godwin's out for the year, which is half of a year, and Evans is going to be back like in a week.
Yeah, but can you really put Cade Otton back in the bag after he's played this well?
They've done it already. Like, this isn't his first time.
He's never broken out like this. He's had games. He's always run routes. He's always been on the field for the Bucs since he was a rookie. But can they really just stop going to a guy who's been so productive?
Week nine last year, he was tied in two, and then they put him right back in. Three targets, five targets, four targets. He kind of peeled right off. 2022, he had one game. He was tied in four. That was week nine as well. Like, he's had game. I guess you're a good point. Like, he's
a game. Now he's having a month. He's going to have a month of production.
Yeah, that's a real conversation. I mean, 31 targets in three games is...
He's been a difference maker at tight end over the last month. And now, I don't know if I'm quite there yet, but, man, I can get real loopy. I can get real drunk on the thought of winning a championship. And I think this is a closer conversation than any of us would have expected a few months ago. Let's talk about the last game in week number 10, Monday Night Football. The YOLO 2-6 Miami Dolphins head to La La Land to take on the Los Angeles Rams. Dolphins, despite being 2-6, are only getting 1 point. What? Of course, there's no juice on the money line with that type of spread, but the over-under 50 suggests fantasy bonanza. The Rams have been a launching pad for opposing wide receivers this entire season. Is this the week we see a massive Tyreek Hill game? You have met wide receiver three. I got him at wide receiver four. So I think we both agree it's a big Tyreek Hill game, right?
Let's run a little experiment here. Puka Nacua plus Tyreek Hill combo receiving yard prop. What do you think the number is?
Just shy of 200. I'd say like 188.
144 and a half.
140. Oh, smash that over. Cooper smash that over.
Cooper Kupp plus Jalen Waddle receiving yard combo.
If that was 144, my guess is like 110.
106.
Nails there. I'm taking the over on both. Both,
dude. I'm hitting them both. Double. I'm discount double tapping that shit.
I mean, Tyreek could go for 150 and Cooper Kupp could go for 120. I mean, they could, one guy in those combos could hit that mark. And I could see it. I could absolutely see it. I know Jalen Ramsey's been good, but Jalen Ramsey's going to be on Puka, right? He's not going to be on Cooper Kupp.
Waddle could give us a negative again and we'd still hit. It's prick.
I love it. I love it. But in terms of fantasy, I mean, we're firing it up. We both got Tua inside our top 10. We're both big on Tyreek Hill. Of course, the running backs, Devon Achane. You have him at six. I got him at three. It's a tough rushing matchup, but the targets, 7-7, 8-8 with Tua Tagovailoa has been absolutely remarkable. So you're, of course, playing all the Devon Achane that you possibly can. There's really no tight end of note on either team. There's been a little bit of love on Jonnu Smith. I'm fading that shit. You can miss me with it. He's outside of my top 12. But, of course, we have to talk about it. You talked about the horrible negative game last year. He's had a really, really, really despicable 2024 campaign. Jalen Waddle, you got him at wide receiver 36. I got him at wide receiver 32. Both of us have him outside of the top 30. Is there hope for Jalen Waddle this week?
I'll tell you this, Maddie, and the people that listen to me or listen to the show on a regular basis, I'm pretty petty with this Jontae. Sorry, I'm reading a note. With this Jalen Waddle thing this year, he has literally only finished inside the top 35 once. That was week one. He hasn't done it in 7 consecutive games. So, Maddie, I ranked him wide receiver 36. I'm petty. You haven't done it. You ain't gonna do it until you prove it. I ain't ranking you up there. I ain't believing in you. I ain't doing it. Make me believe, Jalen Waddle. Make me believe, please.
I'm going to change him in my rankings, too. I'm going to put him outside of my top 35. You got to do it, baby. You got to do it. You've had plus matchups. You've had Tua back, right? It still hasn't happened yet. I thought last week, you know, given the fact that the Bills have been really good at stopping opposing wide receiver ones, I thought he could get some sneaky looks. No, it just was not good for Jalen Warren. And then, of course, that run back was an anomaly, but fuck, did that suck for fantasy football if you started Jalen Waddle. But that's it. That's week 10, folks. Thank you so much for tuning in to the walkthrough here on the South Harmon Podcast Network. Make sure you head over to southharmonff.com, get that warp tool, start dominating in fantasy football, get the rankings, the articles, all that good stuff at southharmonff.com. Head over to the YouTube channel and subscribe to the South Harmon YouTube channel. Put the notification bell on because we got shows coming out throughout the week. And, of course, on Sundays, the game plan, starter shit, and the recap. Sunday fun day. Spend it with us here at South Harmon. He's Cody Carpentier. I'm Maddie Kiwoom. Thank you for joining the walkthrough. We'll see you next week. Peace.